B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family. The only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as Twitter reactions during the draft.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes, that is.
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is Little Dice and our special guest, the king, I guess, the boss, the Donald Trump of the BS and Beer family. We have David Romero. How you doing, brother?
Pave the wave.
Why? That's all I can say is why.
We're trying to be provocative here on the beer run. Okay, we push.
I mean, just picking fights with your own teammates, man. Come on. I mean, picking fights like Trevor Penning during training camp. That's what it's going to.
You know it's coming, huh?
Yes.
You know it's coming.
He might hurt somebody.
Okay. Well, you know how we do on the beer run. We've got four downs. We're going to talk about some beer. We're going to talk about the Saints, especially what happened in the draft. All right. And then we got a little bit of breaking news. Okay. The Honey Badger. All right. And just overall discussion about our safety position. And what do you guys think about the team? Are we a playoff team or not? So let's go ahead and get the ball spotted and let's get started.
First down, Saints.
All right, on first down here, what are we drinking? Craig, what you got?
Well, I continue my hot streak. I am going with a gold medal winning from 2018 Voodoo American Pale Ale from right down here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 10 Roof Brewing Company again. This is a juicy, hazy American Pale Ale, not an IPA. It's a pale ale, about 5%, about 20 IBU, so it's not super hoppy. It's got a good kind of fruity finish on there. Oh, it's real good, guys. If you like an ale, but you don't want to get kicked in the face by a pine tree, this is a good ale to get you in there with. But the real question is, how does it sound? Yeah, it sounds pretty good too.
Wow. And that's not like sound effects. That's actual. I don't know. I think Craig may have bought one of those little mics. He just sits right on the brim.
Put a mic inside each of my beers.
Yes.
Which is tough to do without opening it yet.
Yeah, because my open is not that loud at all.
And then you hear.
I get it right up next to the microphone. I'm all about it.
Throughout the whole show.
That's the ASMR coverage. Everybody comes in here to hear. Dale, what you drinking?
Okay, so unlike you, Craig, I don't have the really good liquor store that sells these singles, where I can try a different one. I buy six packs, so we're going back with the Black Walnut. It was pretty good the first time around. Nice and light, so I'm gonna roll with this one again. All right, how about you, Dave?
Man, you guys with all these girl drinks and stuff, man, I'm just here with a good old-fashioned Bud Light, old school, the basics, doing it right, like a man does, like Paul did, like Grandpa did, okay?
I don't know. I think Grandpa had like the full Bud, right?
He didn't have light. Yeah, he didn't even have light. So, Grandpa,
you know, it's funny that you guys said that. I happen to have myself here a pint glass full. In fact, it's a Minnie Mouse pint glass, don't ask, filled with a Budweiser Classic to pay up one of our, and I think actually our inaugural, beer bet.
That's right. That's right.
Now, me and my lovely co-host here were debating on whether a certain defensive tackle from LSU would be drafted in this year's draft.
Well, Tigers.
Now, it was my mistake in assuming that he was going to be a UDFA and end up in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But in fact, he was a draft pick, which means I have lost this beer bet and have to now chug one beer during the show.
That's right.
Like some kind of frat boy. you guys make time with yourself. I'm going to spend the next minute trying to choke down a lukewarm Budweiser.
Dale, do you get the sense that Craig makes these insane bets on purpose just to lose?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's exactly me. I love losing.
I'm telling you, like Nick Underhill he has like what Daniel Santa or whatever is like a CPA.
Yeah, yeah.
We must have a different guy like Manuel Kant or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's okay. CPA. Since you brought him up, I mean, do we just go ahead and like refer to Underhill like he's WWL or something, you know, just like, well, Nick yes. said, you know, okay. Yes. I ain't gonna lie, man. I know I may be late to the party, but I'm super picky about where I get my information from. I mean, but the dude does it right, man. And, man, I don't know. You got to give him his kudos, man. And he has some insight and he does some stuff where he doesn't tell you everything, but he gives some hints or else he's really lucky, which I don't think is the case. Or he's really insightful where he's just like, I'm not going to say it, but because I have this information, but in case it's wrong, I can back out of it. But if I'm right, I can go back and say, well, I was alluding to it because he gets stuff right a lot.
I don't know, most of the time I'm with you, but this draft, stuff, I was not down with drafting.
What is this support that we're talking right now? That is the mortal enemy of the Beer Run podcast.
Crush all enemies. I forgot
crush about that. Crush all enemies. What is best in life? To see your enemies driven before you.
You notice he wasn't this nasty until he got a beer in him, and now all of a sudden he turns into the super villain.
Oh, look at Dave. Look at Dave thinking this is my first beer of the day.
Second down.
Let's get into some Saints draft talk here. The Saints pretty much did what we wanted them to do in the first round. They got that wide receiver. They got that offensive tackle. Like two of the biggest needs on our team. They got it done. All the mock drafts, everybody that picked these two guys, like they made us look pretty good. So what's up with that first off, you know?
New era. Sean Payton is not here to hinder us and hold us back.
Yeah, yeah. But overall, I'd say two thumbs up for those two picks. Now, when we got the second round, that's when there's more beef, right? Because we draft the cornerback out of Tennessee, right, Taylor? And we're like, what are we doing? We don't need a cornerback. Like, I mean, did anybody else, like, put their hands up to the sky? Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Okay, look, who didn't? First of all, I mean, I think we looked at it, and maybe we got spoiled with the first two picks that, like, maybe the Saints are going to do what we need them to do. And the fact of the matter is, we all thought the two biggest needs, offensive tackle, wide receiver, we got them, right? Then comes the second round. I think a lot of people thought the next biggest hole was free safety. Right. So, but the Saints go corner. Here's a thought, and it's just food for thought. I have no idea. But did the Saints just sign a safety because they didn't get what they wanted in the draft? Or did they know they had that in their pocket and say, man, all we got to do is give him this and he'll sign? And I don't like the free safeties in the draft, so I'm going to go ahead and just pick the guy I do like and then sign another guy Monday morning.
So is that kind of a chicken and an egg scenario? Like, does it push our hand to give money to a player we're going to talk about maybe in a few minutes? Or is it because we knew that he was an option that we didn't overdraft a safety and instead took the best defensive player available?
That's what I'm suggesting. And again, who knows? And maybe that's just giving the Saints credit. Maybe it's like, oh man, look, the Saints, they playing 3D chess. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they were like, oh my God, we need a safety. We couldn't get them. There's nobody there worth this pick. So they went with a best player available situation. And, you know, maybe I'm giving too much credit, but one way or another, I think that there could be.
And let's not get away from the idea that he was the best player available. He was an absolute monster. He's a physical freak.
I'm a beast, Your Honor. Okay? I'm a beast. That's what I do. Okay? She knew this when she met me. Now all of a sudden she got a problem with it.
He's got those long arms that you want in one of these possession type corners. I'm a big fan of the guy. I don't know that I would have gone that direction with this pick, but being a homer that I am, I've talked myself into it already. And his upside is just immense. And one of the things that Dennis Allen keeps talking about is not having defined roles on defense, you know, which he does with the three safety sets and nickels that are safeties and safeties that are linebackers. And I think having a guy who's just an athlete and he's just good at football might give him more flexibility in that secondary. And I think that might be part of the plan. I know he said he's going to play corner, but right. what a corner really is in this defense is kind of up for debate.
Yeah, that was going to be what I was going to say next was they asked Dennis Allen about it. He definitely visions him as a corner and not a safety, because I know that was like one of the first things come out. I saw like Jacob Hester tweet something that the guy had versatility, he could play safety if need be, that kind of thing. But I think Dennis Allen just shot all that down. So he's definitely going to be a corner.
So he's keeping up the longstanding tradition of Saints coaches lying to people.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Dale. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to the next pick. Go,
okay. So I don't think that necessarily the Saints hell, I forgot what I was going to say. But okay, with Taylor, I wasn't mad about him. I was more disappointed because I wanted a safety, and two, I'm like, who is he? You just spent what I consider a starter position. Now,
right.
does it always work out that way? They spin it on a cornerback, and I'm like, who's he beating out? Like, right. Does this exactly. mean they're not really that happy with the Debo? And the fact of the matter is, and then I started looking at, man, you have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. His mm-hmm. contract is up. You also have the Roby. He signed a 2-year deal, right?
Yeah, his extension. So he's gonna be here for a minute.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he's gonna be here. You know, like they could say, man, if we see somebody with the potential to be better, this could have been a pick for the future. The third thing, and I think I sent you guys a whole list of things it could be. The other one that makes a lot of sense to me is the fact that they look at their roster. And let's see, let's take a look at this depth chart here. And they say, okay, so either one of the two starters gets hurt, either Lattimore or Debo. Mm-hmm. And that means Bryce Thompson I guess maybe Roby. The point right. is, I think they look at that and they say, mm-hmm. we need some depth because yeah. you're one snap away from a position that gets hurt that you can't replace.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is if your guard gets hurt, even if you tackle, you can help them out. You can slide protection. You can get a tight end over there. If one of your corners goes down and you don't have anybody to help them, then your whole defense falls apart. Mm-hmm. So just some thoughts that made me say, okay, I'm justifying it. So my anger was not, and I shouldn't say anger. I didn't get angry, but my disappointment was that's like, okay, we drafted a left tackle in the second round, we draft another tackle, and you're like, we already have two starters. What are we going to do with a third tackle? But there are reasons for it, smart reasons, right? And it could be next year.
Well, my thing is everybody was drafting wide receivers. So my thought is we draft another cornerback to compete against these wide receivers that everyone else is drafting.
It's an arms race.
All right, and so we go to the fifth round, and they pick up a linebacker from Appalachian State, DeMarco Jackson. So I saw he had like a great RAS score.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, he can run sideline from sideline. My problem with him is he played at Appalachian State.
So your problem with him is that he's not a wide receiver.
Or he didn't go to LSU.
Also problems, yes.
looking at what there is available from him, like obviously he's another small school guy, mm-hmm. But he's physical, he's fast. And what I think this draft, the common theme of everyone in this draft that the Saints picked, with the exception of Olave, because I think he's polished and ready to produce immediately, everyone else that we've picked are kind of, not developmental guys, but really high potential guys. Guys that if they figure it out are going to be really special. And mm-hmm. I think that implies to this guy too. He has almost exactly the same height, weight, build, and speed as Quan Alexander.
Right.
I think that's the idea, is to make a Quan 2.0.
Yeah. I definitely understand that. But I guess kind of to make Dave's point again, we got another guy coming in, but he's not going to be a starter. And this could have been a position to be a starter, but I mean, he's not going to be.
What other positions do we need starters at?
Wait, hold on. Now, I think you're going a little bit too far
that's
here.
That's when your point now. We've given you that point. So you've
made your point.
A fifth rounder I don't know if you ever expect in a fifth rounder to come in and start.
No, true.
And
then, no, 100%.
So,
but honestly, like Dale, what other positions do we not have starters for that we need to address? You could say maybe tight end, but we have a lot of capital already invested there with, with, you know, Johnson's coming around, Troutman. We just moved our quarterback to tight end. I mean, you could say that, you know, we put attention into that position already. D-tackle, I guess, but you already have a good D-tackle. Yeah. You have a huge room full of D-tackles. There's a ton of guys there. Where are you going to draft that isn't linebacker that you think they have a better chance of coming in and being an impact player?
Well,
if you say wide receiver, I'm shutting this podcast down.
at this point in time during the draft, right, my two biggest needs were at safety and were at, you know, receiver, tight end, something like that, yeah.
Like, good Lord, this man hates linemen with a sick passion. I cannot understand it.
Did
a lineman like steal your lunch money in high school or something?
I mean, Dale's like the nicest guy in this group, and he's making me want to fight with him. I mean, where's the running back on this list?
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing.
That's another place, too.
We didn't need a starter, but we needed a good backup and, you know, someone who can help carry the load during a certain stretch if another player's not available.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a player that you can get later because they're devalued and he can make a difference early.
Right.
And we have another guy I want to talk about that, but that's a whole different story. But I think more than anything, yeah, look, if he develops, great. But I think what people lose sight of is, man, the Saints, we have a great special teams unit. And how many games, I've been watching a lot of games because this time of year where I'm excited about the draft and I'm sick, right. I just want to watch some football and I put on a Saints game and just waste time. The Saints special teams, man, how many times punts inside the five and big tackles? I think this guy, more than anything, he comes in and he's a great special teams player, big, tough. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He's rocked up.
Yeah.
And he could be an outstanding special team player. And if everything happens right, man, he might actually play linebacker at some point. So,
yeah.
Like if you spend a fifth round pick and you get a guy who's a great special teams player that helps your team in literally any way, it's a win. It's a fifth-round pick. Most of these guys don't make the team.
Right.
And let me throw one more thing in, too, about Taylor, the second-round cornerback. One of the things I've said, as most people know, good players, stars, he was probably the best player on Tennessee's defense. He played special teams. He was a gunner. And while I know people like, you didn't draft no gunner in the second round. Okay, but if the guy's developing into a good cornerback and is your primary backup, but at the same time, he's a gunner. Dominant gunner on special teams.
You saved the Roth position.
Man, I mean, that means something. Yeah, that means that a guy like absolutely. Kevin White doesn't have to be on the active roster so that he can run down and use his speed when he's not a contributor as a wide receiver. So, again, I don't want to overemphasize that because I'm like, we didn't draft a gunner in the second round. But if he can be that while he's developing, man, what a find.
Mm-hmm. And to wrap the draft up, as far as the Saints are concerned, they got Jordan Jackson in the sixth round, defensive tackle from Air Force. Now, I saw this as a position of need, so I'm cool with it. My problem with it is it's Air Force.
here's my problem with it. My problem with this pick is singular, and I'll tell you what it is. A 6'5", 293-pound pile of muscle was described as another fat guy by my co-host, and I absolutely cannot agree with that in any way. Dude basically has abs. He's 290 pounds of terrifying human. He plays D-tackle. He's a fat guy. Get out of here.
He's stereotyping, Craig. Dale is stereotyping.
That is, stereotypes are hurtful and terrible. Just because I look like a typical lineman does not mean that they all do.
I'm guilty.
This guy, 9.13 RAS score. And again, I know everybody RAS score, but it's just a way of saying, hey, man, a simple number, it tells you got a good athlete. And when you think about that 9.13, there are two columns that are absolutely red. Okay, and what does that mean? That means that they put the color code on things that he's not good at.
Right.
And their weight and his bench press, right? So he does need to get a little stronger. That's going to happen. Yep. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that his weight, the guy's frame and size, man, he could probably put on another 15, 20 pounds.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, you have a guy that can run, and I'm looking at it here. He runs a 4.9 40. He has a 2.8 split, 20 yard. He's running the three cone, 7.2. I mean, this is an athlete. This is a this is an athlete. The only thing, and the criticism I heard, which is something he's going to have to prove on, especially as a lower, I always talk about big, thick ankle guys. He's not one of those. He's a thin leg guy, and I don't know if he'll ever be that. He looks like me. You know, he's a gazelle, you know, and he's not one of them thick ankle Brutuses like Craig. So,
well, here's one of the things about
can him he hold that, up against the really run? Like.
Yeah, exactly. And here's one of the things that I really liked about him, though. He played at Air Force, and he was the best player on that defense. So he had 7.5 sacks, if I have my stats right, in that last season with Air Force. And he was double and triple teamed every down because he was the best player on that defense.
Yeah.
Now, when you make production and you're still getting paid all the attention to, then what would it be if he was on a team with someone else taking up any of the attention, any of the blocks? Yeah. I think he's, again, a huge potential guy. Guy that could potentially, and I use that word a lot, could end up being a real impact guy. And that's all you can hope for at this stage in the draft. We're down in, what, sixth round at this point? Yeah, you just want to take a chance on a guy that might be good. You're not expecting anything.
So let me ask, is he going to get to play, or is he going to have to, like, go and do service for like a year or two?
No,
like
he got a deferment. So he's able to play.
Okay, cool. All right.
Just one last thing about the draft. Trevor Penning might be special.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about him for months. He might be special.
I know we talked about that and people were saying, man, development. And I look at the athlete he is. And then, so I started thinking to myself, who's a tackle? Okay, everybody knows Andres Pete was drafted as a tackle. So I went ahead and I pulled up Pete's RAS score, and I look at it and say, I mean, not that this means everything, but Pete was an 8.54, his total RAS. And you talking about Penning is 9.95.
Yeah.
My point is that I don't know how people are talking about this guy not being successful. I just don't know. He's mean. He wants it. He loves the game. He's athletic. I just don't know. I get lower competition, so maybe there's a learning curve that takes him a minute to. But I promise you, my boy is going to wear him out, and there's going to be some fist fights in training camp. Yeah. Davenport is going to bull rush him into the ground until that man has enough, and he'll figure it out. Yeah. Before training camp's over, Cam Jordan and the rest of those guys are going to teach this guy how to handle a bull rush. And then, not to mention, I keep saying it irritates me with other people, that bull rush thing was exaggerated because there was a video going around with two plays he lost that he got bull rush, and now all of a sudden he can't handle a bull rush.
Yeah, he's got to work on playing lower. He's got to keep his pads lower and not let guys dig under him, which, I mean, it's going to happen. You're 6'7". You know, you have to work harder to be the low man. I mean, that's just a thing. Our iron sharpens iron. He's going to have excellent competition in camp. And let's just hope he doesn't injure Davenport before the season starts.
Easy. Now, what I'm worried about, though, is there was a lot of reports about Davenport and being a little bit emotionally fragile and stuff. I'm hoping Penton that go over there and just break him. Yeah, just break him. And I'm talking about emotionally, not necessarily physically. Yeah. I don't think there's many people.
Although maybe physically too.
I mean, Davenport's a beast, but emotionally, I want to make sure that we have to talk to Pennington about being nice to his teammates.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I don't want to see no trouble. Can we just get along?
Okay, well, what about the undrafted rookie free agents that the Saints have signed? They signed about 17 of them, and they're gonna have like rookie tryouts, all that kind of stuff for the camp. I guess I'll just highlight a few of them, like Abram Smith, the running back from Baylor. Like what I saw, he was like a one cut runner. You know, he had like a 6.63 RAS. You guys like what you see out of him?
Okay, let me tell you why I like him. I always say, give me a guy who's an undrafted free agent. I'll get excited about him when you give me a reason. Not a guy that's like, look, he's played 4 years. He's a senior. He was a blah, blah, blah. You know, he's just another guy that's not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying those guys don't sometime develop. Maybe they went to a small school and they didn't get a chance, a late bloomer.
Right.
Here's the thing about this guy. Oh, here's another one. I said, maybe a guy, you know, goes to prison for a couple of years for, you know, embezzlement. And then, you know, that's a reason he slipped into free agency. This guy was a linebacker for 3 years. He becomes a running back because they needed some help. 1,600 yards.
Right.
Ah, But here's the problem. You can't convince me that a kid's going to come in. There are a lot of intricacies to playing running back that people think you just hand them the ball and they take, you know, depth of, I mean, stepping the right. There's a lot of stuff he doesn't know. And then I'm not even talking about pass pro yet.
Right.
So I am a bit concerned that it may take him a minute before he's up to speed. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. But
okay,
he's a guy 1 year as a running back, and the dude is rushing for 1,600 yards.
Yeah.
That says he's a good ball player.
And there's a path for him to make the team for sure.
Yes.
I'm also looked at Rashid Shaheed, wide receiver, kick returner out of Weber State. He's like 5'11", 190, really fast guy.
Can I remind everyone that we already have an undersized kick returner trying to play receiver, and we don't need any more of them.
And that's what I see him as, like another Deontay Hardy, you know, like just a little bit taller.
Here's the element most people don't like to think about or look at or whatever. Deontay Hardy has proven a lot of stuff, and one of them is he's a great returner.
Right.
And he's going to command a pretty good cap, a pretty good salary next year.
Yeah.
And if they bring in another guy and he gets on the practice squad and you can get rid of the old guy and put in the new guy, and it's the same thing I was talking about our cornerback, you know, man, maybe you don't have to pay Roby. Maybe you don't have to pay. I love CJGJ, don't get me wrong, but the Saints might just make a decision that, man, this dude wants way too much money.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just go with the young guy on a rookie contract and continue trying to get our cap back in shape. So, hey, because he was an all-conference. I don't remember everything because I just breezed over it, but he was an outstanding return guy. I can't remember how many touchdown returns he had. If a guy has three or four returns over the course of his entire college career, that's incredible. You could be a great returner and not get in the end zone.
Yeah.
But he had a bunch of them.
His highlights were crazy, man. Like, he was really running away from everybody. He also had highlights against the Pac-12 too. So that's a step up the competition. So it's pretty good.
Excuse me, but the Pac-12 is not the SEC and therefore is irrelevant to all conversations.
I said, just a step up. That's what I said. Okay, another guy I saw, Jack Corner. He's like a safety from Iowa. He had like a 9.19 RAS. So I'm excited to see what he does. And Eric Wilson's another guard from Penn State. He had like a 8.68 RAS. So these are guys with high RAS scores. Maybe they can make an impact coming up. And of course, you know, leading the undrafted free agent team, we have Smoke Monday.
Yeah, I was wondering if you was going to get to that one. You saving that one for last, wasn't you?
Yeah, it's a highlight, you know. Yeah. And Smoke Monday, I mean, he really like in-a-box safety, sure tackler, team leader, smart guy. You know, like he was always in on a play, around the play, whenever I saw him. So,
most importantly, he already went to the Falcon Stadium and was talking trash to the Falcons and had a Drew Brees jersey on the next day. So
next day.
I don't care if he's terrible. I want him on the team.
I love it.
And how great a name is Smoke Monday. That's a fantastic name.
He should make the roster just because of that.
Just based on name recognition. I don't even care. Make him an assistant coach if he doesn't make it. I want him around. It's great.
Fair enough.
We're going to be talking about the Honey Badger because he's coming back home. He's coming back home, all right? And like the news broke earlier today. We're really excited because, you know, we had been on Honey Badger watch for a while. But now, hey, the Saints not drafting a safety in the draft opens the door for us to sign Honey Badger. And so now we have Honey Badger and Marcus May back there at safety. Are we better this year than we were last year at safety?
Well, and you have to factor in Evans might be a real factor if he comes back from injury. Oh, and you have to think that PJ Williams has continued to develop as a good safety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can say that we're better right now.
Okay.
I Marcus Williams was a hell of a free safety that no one gave any credit to because he got tripped up on a bad play in Minnesota 6 years ago, whatever the hell it was. I don't think that you can say we're better. I don't think we're any worse. I think we're at least as good. We're probably going to be more explosive, probably going to be more turnovers involved, but you know, the deep ball, the free safety playing like a center fielder, that element's not going to be here. So I think it's going to have to be a different defense. So I can't say that it's any better, but I don't think it's any worse. I think it'll be different.
You lose a little range, but you gain some physicality. So there's a part of me that wants to say, but honestly, Malcolm Jenkins occasionally had some games where it's like, but he also made a lot of plays, man. So you're not a fan, because I want to say I'm not a fan, but I think I would get a lot of pushback. So I'm just going for the easy day today. I honestly think we got better, assuming that Marcus May returns 100% from his injury. I think we got better at strong safety, and I think we lost a little bit at free safety just because of range.
Okay.
But we also pick up leadership. We pick up some physicality, which is important. Mm-hmm. You know,
attitude, so, leadership.
Yeah, yeah, leadership, very, very important when you consider Malcolm Jenkins leaving and then Teron Armstead leaving. You know, it's a lot of the guys that you would look to for leadership in a locker room leaving. So I'm glad we kind of backfilled that. But most importantly, I am happy about jersey sales. Because Taysom Hill is going to give up that number 7.
You damn right!
He's going to give it to Honey Badger. And it's going to be the number 1 selling jersey in New Orleans. Everybody's going to have a 7 on.
You know what, man?
You know why Taysom Hill wears 7, right?
Why is that?
He wears it in honor of his brother that died in 2016. Mm. I don't think he's giving it up.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't even ask him.
Yep, nope.
And you know what? How much does that suck? Taysom Hill, even though he didn't make it as a quarterback, still a fan favorite, man. I mean, people love him. I love him. And though I don't want him as my quarterback, I love the guy. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, just like, hey, get in the back and take your jersey off and give it to the new guy. Like, you know, I mean, but Teron Matthews is, I mean, he's an icon in New Orleans. Yes. It's just a bad luck situation.
He went from 32 to, you know, he could get 37, 27, 17, whatever. You could get a 7 on that guy without having to take Taysom away. You know, we still want Taysom around. He's still part of this, part of our plan going forward. I don't know if you can just straight up disrespect them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to give up that 7, fam.
And ironically, I watched the Saints play Washington this weekend, and he had several nice catches, and he had one where he threw a guy away and ran over another guy. I mean, listen, he's going to bring a lot of that tough guy excitement to that tight end role or whatever you want to call it, because it's not going to be a traditional tight end. It'll be more like a the old H-back kind of thing. But that was also the game where he got hit in the head and took him out for a while with the concussion. Point being is that, listen, Taysom is going to be a fan favorite still. And I just look, if it was just like, oh, man, it's just a number I like, it's one thing. But how are you going to ask that man to take his number after for that circumstance?
They do it every year. Just give him some money and take the number.
Oh, my God. It would be more of like, let me do it because it's the right thing. Like, I know it's a number for your brother who passed away. But would 10,000 make you feel better about that?
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? No, man, you can't do that. That's rude.
Dan was a cold, cold man.
And I mean, what would Taysom be like to accept it? I mean, like, no, I mean, my brother's more of 25 to 30K kind of guy. You know, I mean, that's just, you can't do that.
Do whatever you got to do. We got to give up the number.
I mean, you're talking about a dude who has a pretty big contract. You've talked to me, I'd be like, you got 500? I take it. I mean, if you ain't got it, you can put a little something on it. I mean, I just need a little help right now. You can pay me later.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
So are the Saints a playoff team today? Craig, what do you think?
Well, no, we're not playing football in May. So, I mean, they're not a playoff team today. The season hasn't even started yet. It's a silly question.
I mean, that's what we do. We speculate.
In that case, yeah, I think so. I don't think you can argue that having our kicker come back, having Michael Thomas come back, adding a receiver, adding an offensive lineman, and don't tell me we lost Teron Armstead because he played half the games anyway. adding the Honey Badger but losing Marcus Williams, I feel as close to break even as you're going to get on two guys in the secondary. I think we're at least maybe two games better. And that puts you in the playoffs. Where, I mean, we were a half game out of the playoffs this year.
Okay, so I saw something from Get Up Morning. They put like the somebody's top five NFC teams.
Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah. And so he has Rams number one, Bucks number two,
gross.
Saints number three, Packers number four, Eagles gross. Number five.
Gross.
So,
why is it always the teams I hate that are the other teams? All four of those teams can just get hit by lightning and I won't even give a shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm thinking more of teams like Dallas.
Trash.
They probably belong on this list.
Trash.
I mean, the Vikings have a lot trash. Of draft picks and they can easily get on this list too.
And yet they won't because the Vikings will never win a Super Bowl or do anything of any meaning and are garbage. And anyone who likes them should feel ashamed.
See, I like to really compare our teams to like the other teams inside of the division. And
as you keep telling me, we're worse than all of them. So your opinion must be that we are not a playoff team.
No, my opinion, we're second place in the division. That's why I got us at second place.
But does that make us a playoff team?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
But that's what we do, Dale. We speculate.
I mean, you got the Cardinals out there because the NFC West.
The NFC West just got weaker. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be suspended for six games.
True. He's suspended for six games.
And the Rams will have that Super Bowl hangover. They're trash now, I promise.
And then you still don't know what you're going to get from Seattle. I mean, you're trash. Assuming – Locke is going to be a garbage quarterback.
Because he has been.
Yeah. then you got Washington and Philadelphia. Like
the Niners are going to take a step back.
Niners, yeah.
Washington is trash. Philadelphia is going to fail because they keep doing that.
I can't just.
I'm coming up real negative right now. I think it's just that I'm very pro Saints right now. I'm feeling really good about us. So I'm kind of like mad at everyone else that's like, oh, they're pretty good too. Like, no, they're not. We are.
But
no, I think if we're not absolutely decimated by injuries again, I think it's absolutely a playoff team. Maybe a contender.
Yeah. So I think if we are a playoff team, it's right on the edge, you know, the 8-6 seed or something like that. You know, that's what I
hate you. I can't even have a pleasant conversation with you about how amazing the Saints are going to be. We're signing Tyrann Mathieu today, an LSU guy who makes the team better, and you still can't be excited because you are too negative, and I hate you now.
Well, maybe if we drafted some LSU players like the
Browns did. Do you want to be the Browns?
Well, I mean, they got a pretty nice
roster. If I had a mic in my hand, I would drop it right now.
They got a pretty nice roster, I'm just saying.
They're the Browns. They'll never accomplish anything because they're the Browns.
But, yeah, if they would have drafted more LSU players, I think I'd be a little bit more optimistic.
They signed one?
Yeah. It's nice to sign them. It's good.
Oh, my God. All right, so if we sign Landry this week, you good?
I might be in now.
Okay. I hope that they continue to make choices that benefit your personal opinion and not the team in any way.
Oh, man. No, LSU guys come in and help. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
That's what we do. All right.
Hey, well, I agree with you.
If anybody wants to let Craig know how wrong he is, hit us up on Twitter.
Tell me in detail how wrong I am and why I'm wrong, and then also give me beer recommendations.
Yeah. We love beer recommendations and everything. And of course,
Dale won't listen. He'll just get something with fruit, but I'll listen. Recommend beer to me. I'll drink it.
No. B-Train recommended these Bud Light seltzers, hard sodas.
Let me rephrase that. If you recommend actual beer, I'll try it.
I went out and I got it. Okay. So that's a straight suggestion from him. Okay. It worked.
Fair. Well, that is about all the time we have this week. For the president and CEO of BS and Beer, Dave, who had to leave a little bit early, for my co-host who hates everything, except for the Falcons and Alabama, Dale. And for me, the California Cajun, thank you guys for joining us. We'll be with you again soon. Have a beer. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bsandbeer@icloud.com.
You know who it is. It's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th.